I get to do the number two, which is the A, which is adoration. And what a great topic to speak on today. And worship, adoration and worship. So I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 4. Or your devices. I never thought I'd see the day, but I have my Bible on my phone. I have the best Bible program, better than my computer. But I want to lay the background here. Do you remember when the kingdom of Israel divided? King David, his son Solomon, and then the 10 tribes, they divided. The 10 northern tribes were to the north. The two southern tribes, they worshipped in Israel, in Jerusalem. Well, the 10 tribes up north, they couldn't go to Jerusalem because they separated and they divided. So they established their own place of worship. You remember where that was? Samaria. There was a mountain in Samaria. That's where they worshiped. And so now, hundreds of years later, Jesus is on the scene and he's walking through Samaria and he comes to a woman and he meets this woman at the well. You know the story. But I want to pick it up at verse 20. The woman says, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, yet you, Jews, say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." What I want you to see here is that in the Old Covenant, worship was place-oriented. It was space-oriented. You had to go someplace to worship. The mountain in Samaria or the temple in Jerusalem. Well, this is what Jesus told her. Verse 21. Jesus told her, "Believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. But an hour is coming and now is. It's now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers." The whole system was changing. New covenant was coming. Worship was changing big time. I want to look at in spirit and truth a little bit. First of all, in spirit. You would no longer need to go to the temple to worship. Why? Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? What happened to the curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies? That thing tore from the top. That thing's a thick curtain, and it tore right into from top to bottom. Now, some people would say, that tore to let us in so that we can go into the, now we can go directly into the presence of God through our priesthood as believers in Jesus. And that's true. But there's also another aspect of it that I think that I like is that when that thing tore, it symbolized that God was leaving the temple. He was gone. He's not there anymore. He's going through it. He's out. They would no longer be able to worship at the temple. God no longer dwelled there. He wasn't there any longer. And what did he do? He didn't leave himself without a temple. We are the temple of God. And now the Holy Spirit, God dwells in us. It used to dwell in the Holy of Holies. Now it dwells in us today. So worship takes place in our spirit through the Holy Spirit. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. The Holy Spirit made our spirit alive. It's alive. And it's alive to commune with God. And we take the presence of God everywhere we go. So we don't have to worship in a temple. We worship anywhere and everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere we go. We are worshipers. I want to drive that home to you today. We are worshipers. That's who we are. And we worship in spirit. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you for different places where you have worshiped God. It's not just here, right? It better not be. I'll get to that later on. So we take God's presence with us everywhere we go. And He never, ever leaves us. So, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Let's look at truth. We worship the Father from what we know is true about Him. We worship Jesus from what we know is true about Him. We worship in truth. That's why we teach. That's why you study. That's why you read your Bible. That's because we worship in truth. Now, truth about God is directly related to the proportion of our expression of worship. Let me restate that. Truth about God or the size of our God is directly proportional to your expression of worship to God. How big is your God? Some people have smaller gods. He's the same God, but they put Him in a box. Their truth about God is different from that person's truth or that person's truth. And all I'm saying to you is your worship is an expression of your God, of what you know, what's true about what you believe God is and who He is and what He does and how what He does today. Does that make sense? It's proportional. And of course, I'm not just talking about our worship singing up here, because we take God everywhere, right? We are worshipers. Everywhere, all the time. So, we live in accordance to what we know is true about God. That's true. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. And these are examples from my own life. I'm speaking from experience here. Jesus said, as I said earlier, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But the fact remains, in this world we will have tribulations, we will have trials, and so forth. But the believers who have a smaller God, in other words, they've got God in a box of some size, they tend to respond to life circumstances in various different ways. And let me just give you some of the ways that I have responded. Because my God has not always been as big as He is right now in my own heart. Who I believe He is right now. Okay, one. They take on anxiety. Folks with a small God, they go through various situations in life, and they take on the anxiety of the situation, even though the Scripture says, be anxious for what? Nothing. We may take on fear over whatever the circumstances is. But has God left the building? Has He left the temple here? Has He deserted you? No, He never does. Even though He said, I've not given to you the spirit of fear, but of power and love, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear. Well, depending upon who God is in your own heart and mind determines how you respond to life's situations, life's trials. I've been there. Somebody with a smaller God, they'll live with bitterness. They'll live with anger or unforgiveness. Even though Jesus said to forgive one another, even as we have been forgiven. We don't have to live with any of these things. These folks sometimes, and I'm speaking from experience, they'll tend to complain. When things don't match up, they'll complain about whatever it might be. I've been there. They're not content in whatever circumstance that they find themselves in. When things are not going well, they don't like it. Have you ever been in a job you don't like? I'm talking to you. What did Paul say? I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I find myself in. I've learned to be content with much, and I've learned to be content with little. And we've all gone through that. We've had the much and we've had the little. But we learn how to be content in it. Especially you older folks. I'm talking to you older folks right now. Hey, this temple, this tent, it's going down. It's deteriorating. You can't do the things that you used to do, right? God is God. Has he left the temple? Has he left the house? No, he's still there. Don't worry. Don't fret. It's okay. He's in control. Some of these folks that have a small God, they might pray, and they might pray with faith. In other words, they believe that God can do anything. If we ask God to do anything, they believe that God can do it. And you believe that, right? I don't think anybody here probably, if you've been walking with Jesus, you believe that God can do, and there's nothing impossible with God. That's true. But there's one element that they leave out. They leave out praying with expectation. We can pray in faith, believing God can do it, without the expectation part. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. What comes first? Expectation. Believe. Faith. It's that expectation. So when I'm praying for somebody now, I believe that they're going to get healed if I'm praying for healing. When I meet with somebody to try to help them out of whatever it might be they're going through, and it's most likely spiritual in nature, evil spiritual in nature, I believe they're going to get healed and well. I believe that. So if I go up and pray for Heidi, she's got a splitting headache, and I pray for her right now, I actually believe that the headache's going to go. I have that expectation. I believe that. Boom, I'm going to pray for you. Boom, that thing is going. Okay, expectation. Is that part of your prayers? It should be. It should be. Isaiah, the prophet, in Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verse 1, it tells us that King Uzziah died. Now, he was the king of Israel. He was a good king. I think he ruled somewhere maybe 50, 52 years, something like that. And he was a good king. And Isaiah knows the difference between a good king and a bad king. When a good king was ruling over Israel, things went good. When a bad king ruled over Israel, things went bad. Bad, bad. So Isaiah's probably thinking, oh no, who's going to be the next king? But God has a plan for this man called Isaiah. And Isaiah needs a bigger view of God. He needs a bigger God. And I think we all need a bigger God. That's what I think. I want my God to be big. I want it to be biblical. And so what does God do for Isaiah? He takes him up to heaven and shows him himself. Isaiah sees God. Now, I would venture this. If all of us could see God right now, miraculously see God, let's say 10 seconds, I dare to say you will not be thinking about any of your problems during those 10 seconds. Would I be correct in that assumption? Yes. His magnificence, I mean, it would blow you away. Maybe you won't be thinking about these things for the rest of the day. Maybe for the rest of your life. That's what Isaiah needed. Another prophet, Ezekiel, he was also taken up to see God. And he wrote it down, though. He wrote this. Listen, you can turn there to, if you want to, Ezekiel chapter 1, starting at verse 26. I'm going to read 26 to 28. But here's what he wrote when he saw God. Boom. I saw what looked like a throne of sapphire, and high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from the waist down, he looked like fire. And brilliant light surrounded him. Brilliant light. What's a brilliant light? The sun. I haven't seen this, but I've seen it on TV. The flash of an atomic blast. Just brilliant light. Brilliant light surrounded him. Verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down. Isn't that what happens when people see God? Boom! Down they go. Daniel, we could name a whole bunch that saw God. They couldn't stand. They couldn't stand in his presence. One day, did you hear about my dream I had many, many years ago? And Darren was preaching. I was standing in the back. And this is a dream. I'm just looking, and all of a sudden, the people in the front row, they kind of knelt down and boom. I'm looking, what? Then the next row. And I could see a cloud kind of a thing, you know, and it was like moving. And then the third row, down, boom. People just went down. And I'm looking, what is going on here? And it just happened where this cloud moved across the entire sanctuary. And the people couldn't sit in his presence. And it happened to the whole church. I've always wondered about that dream. You know, Lord, was that from you or is that just from me? I don't know. Let's think about God for a moment. We sit here as forgiven individuals. You are forgiven. You sit here forgiven. Do you know what that means? You're forgiven of your sin. And you're forgiven sin's penalty. The penalty of sin is what? Death. Eternal death, not just physical. Eternal death, outer darkness. It's just awful. That's why I don't want to see people go there. We sit here And we've been forgiven by God. Now, if God is for us, if God is for you, who can be against you? What did you just say? No one. Come on, you're kidding. Where'd you get that information? Out of the Bible. Okay, that's a truth. That's a truth. So, your God is getting bigger, right? I mean, that's okay. If God is for you, which He is, who can be against you? No one. Then what are you getting all uptight about? In other words, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that to myself. Dave, what are you getting all uptight about? Let God out of the box. He even said this. He said this to you. I'm going to cause everything in your life to work together for good. Where do we get that from? The Bible, the Word of Truth. Do you believe that? There are some unbelieving believers, and they don't really believe that, even though it's written there, and they have to respond to it in such a way as they need to make those things right. They need to, you know, in other words, and they're fretting over the bad things and the things that are happening to you, and they just cannot. God is saying, child, my child, come on. I'm still here. They need a bigger God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? When God says, I'll never leave you, where did you get that from? The Bible. Yeah. We worship in truth. And one of these days, folks, you and me are going to get a brand new body. Yes. Amen. You younger folks, some of you younger folks, like, what are they talking about? What do you mean a brand new body? My body works just fine right now. You guys sitting in that row right there. It's true. I'm going to get a brand new body one day, the resurrection. And this body is going to be, I'm hoping, about 30 years old. And I'm going to go, and me and Dan are going to play catch. Boom. 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 I'm going to play, and we're coming back on a new earth. Is that your hope? Is that your hope? You're kidding me. Where did you get that from? The Bible. Yeah. How big is your God? He needs to be really big, especially in this place where this is not our home. We're not home yet. This is what I want to do too. I want to take as many folks out here with me as I possibly can. Is that your desire? It should be. That's who we are. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons is that we be witnesses, that we be able to tell people about Jesus. Here's one. Greater is He who is in us, you and me, than he that's in the world. Who is the greater one that's in us? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, God, Christ in you. All three. He's in us. Greater is He that's in us than who's in the world? The devil. Yeah, the devil and the demons, the evil spirits, and they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Sometimes you go walking. I used to walk here when this church was just a shell. It wasn't quite there yet. It was just a concrete slab. and they had drywall stacked up. And this was the place I'd walk back and forth. The stage wasn't there, and I'd be praying. And I'm praying. Boom, I'm praying. Boom. Every once in a while, in my prayer, nobody else is around, but all of a sudden, darkness would show up. The devil would show up. And I could sense his presence. And he would put thoughts in my mind. He can do that. Garbage thoughts. Who do you think you are? This isn't going to work. You're wasting your time. And I'm not putting up with that. I mean, if somebody came up to you and started talking to you like that, how long would you let that person talk to you like that? Not very long. I don't receive that. That's a lie. I'm here because God sent me here. You don't belong here. Out. Out. Move it. Out of my presence. Ah. And then the Lord would just really show up. Really cool. You know, and you're prayer walking and greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. I believe that. And so do you. We've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Right now. We have a lot to be thankful for. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. So everywhere you go, you take the Holy Spirit with you. And since worship takes place in our spirit, we worship in spirit and truth, we worship anywhere and everywhere we go. Right? I want to push this into you. So, give me some places where you have literally worshiped God. Because you are the temple. Where?
Death Valley.
Death Valley? Can you worship in Death Valley? Yes, you can. Yeah, because he's right there. Wow, I've been there. It's been pretty hot when I was there. Where else? Where have you worshiped?
The car.
That's a great place, huh? I love to drive, and I've got my worship music on, or even if I don't have, it's a great time to pray, especially when I got the music on. Man, I'll tell you, yes, I can drive and do all that at the same time. Where else? Where else? Where have you worshiped? Where? At the gym? Yeah, is the Holy Spirit there? Yeah, you are a temple. You are a worshiper at the gym, right? Okay, good. Where else? At work. Ugh.
On the trail.
You're riding. Riding a horse. Whoa, that's a good one. I'm not a horse guy, but I can just imagine being out there, right? Hans. How about out when you're hunting? Well, is the Holy Spirit there? Are you a worshiper out there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Where else? The ocean. Yeah. That's a great place. Right. Where else? Whoa. Did my wife hear that? Well, it's me and Donna cleaning at the kitchen. We do more cleaning than we do anything else in that place. I don't know how it gets messed up, but what's that? Running and jogging.
Surfing.
Can you worship on a surfboard? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I wish I was. When in my youth, I played baseball. Yeah, I wish I was a believer when I played baseball. It would have made a big difference because I would have been a worshiper out there facing that 95-mile-an-hour fastball coming at my head.
At the hospital.
In the hospital or at the hospital? Both. In the hospital, yes. Great place. I've been there a few times. Week-long stints in the hospital. My Bible's there. Oh, man. Sometimes the Lord puts us down to where we can just relax and worship. Are you a worshiper? Yes, you are. Everywhere you go. We worship Jesus. I remember somebody once asked me, Dave, why is it that you emphasize Jesus so much? How would you answer that? Well, one day Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, John 16:14. And what did he say about the Holy Spirit? He said of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit is in us, we glorify Jesus. It's there. It's just that's what we want. We want to see Jesus lifted up and glorified. Since you are a worshiper and the Holy Spirit lives in you and goes wherever you go, we might say that you are a worship factory. You produce worship. It comes out. It just comes out everywhere you go. How do you guys do worshiping God in the midst of a trial in difficult circumstances when things are not going well at all? They're awful. How do you do? I know. You don't have to tell me. I know. Sometimes it's hard. And then sometimes the cares of this life, it's like the parable of the sower. The cares of this life, it's like weeds growing up around us, and the vine just grows up, and they choke you out. It chokes you out. And you don't produce any fruit. You don't produce the worship that God desires because the cares of this life have choked us out. We've all been there. It's times like that we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit that's in us. And we've all done that. We have. But this is when we have got to put a little battle on. We've got to put a little defense on and be doers of the word. Sometimes we say, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like it. Okay, who's going to win? Feelings or the word of God that says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some do that. They literally forsake it. Scripture says, don't do that. We live by faith, not by emotion. Not by sight. We live by faith. It's like an engine. Train engine. Remember the old engine? You had the train engine. You had the coal car. You had the caboose. The engine is the word of God. It's the word of truth. Solid. Powerful. The coal car is faith. You put faith into it. And it runs. The caboose is emotions. You can't pull the thing by the caboose. Emotions will not run your Christian life. You walk by faith, and the emotions will come. They don't have to be there. They don't. How many times have I worshiped God, and I don't feel like it necessarily? But I do. I worship Him. And oftentimes the emotions, they tag along and they're there. Pretty soon they're there. They come. It's kind of like a marriage. It's not all based on emotion. Love is actions, not necessarily emotions. And we do things because we love them. Okay. I remember one day, I think I'll tell this story. I was long time ago. Things weren't going well in my life. Money wasn't coming in. I owned my own business. Interest rates were around 17%. Remember those days? Back in the 80s, if you go back that far? It was awful. And I had a business that was housing pushed. In other words, I needed houses to sell for my business to work good. Well, nobody's going to buy too many houses at 17% interest rates. And so it was no good. Donna hated to go to the mailbox because there was no money there. And those were rough years in our life. I did that for 10 years. Oh, man. One day, I got squished. The evil one hit me. And I was down on my bed depressed. And it was almost like I was being pushed down. It was like, just couldn't get up. And I was depressed, bad. Donna comes in, and she tries to encourage me, and I didn't want any part of it. Come on, you gotta do what you've been telling people to do. You gotta pray. And I even said this. It's amazing I said this, but I said it. Prayer doesn't work. The enemy's pushing down on me, you know. Prayer doesn't, you know. But she wouldn't let me alone. And she just kept going, you have got to resist. You have got to resist. I don't care if you feel like it, you resist. And I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. I almost felt good. Life was crummy, no money, couldn't pay my bills, couldn't pay anything, and I was just being pushed down. I'm a worship leader at ABC. I got my guitar. I'm an FC, but I'm pushed down. I'm depressed. I want to quit. Basically, I just wanted to quit. That's what the devil wants you to do. He just wants to make you quit. He wants you just to give up and throw it all away. So this is what I did. I said, okay. I mean, she would not leave me alone. I said, okay. And so this is why I said, okay, Satan, if you're involved in this, I can't believe I cannot believe what we can say sometimes. I said, Satan, if you're involved in this, which I knew he was, then stop. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I won't put up with it. Leave my presence. It was just that simple. I went from depressed to no depression at all. It was gone. It was just like, whoa. It was like night and day. The devil roams about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know that. That's truth. The Bible also tells us to resist him firm in our faith. What does firm mean? Firm. You got to go. You got to leave my... No. Firm. Resist. Firm. Get out of here. I'm done with this. I'm not putting up with this. You go right through that wall. Get out of my... What are you doing in my room anyway? Get out of here. Move it. Okay. Resist firm in your faith. That's what we have to do sometimes in this place. This is not our home. Okay. The very same power that raised Jesus lives where? In us. Do you believe that? Where do you get that from? Yeah. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone, anyone who believes in me, the deeds that I do, they will do also. Do you believe that? Watch out. That's a tough one when you say yes to that. Because I'm still, Lord, I know you said that, and you said truly twice. But I believe that. That's why I have the expectation when I go and pray for somebody that something's going to happen. I expect it. And nothing's impossible. Okay. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many things are you supposed to give thanks in? Everything. Everything. Okay. In everything, give thanks. Chaco, you've gone through about months of hard ordeal, trials, suffering, pain, life change, everything. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Now I'm going to give you a harder one. Are you ready for a harder one? Okay, here it comes. Get your glove on. And I want you to catch this one. Okay, that was 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Give thanks always for everything. Did you hear that? For everything. Not just in everything, for everything. Do you give thanks for everything? That's hard. I know how hard it is. Try it. Try it. There's power in that. You will have suffering in this world. John 16:33, Jesus said, "Be courageous, be courageous. I have conquered the world." And this is the very same conqueror that lives in us, that lives in you. You have that conqueror living in you. You are a worshiper. We are going to do a song to close this out. We're going to see a video on Christmas Child before we eat lunch here, but we're going to do a song. It's a new one for us. It's a new one for us. I want to read the first verse and the chorus. Listen to this. This is, oh, it's so good. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Amen. That's good stuff. So I'm going to ask the band to come up, and I'm going to talk a few more things. Come on up, you guys. Okay, question. Is worship something you do or someone you are? Someone you are, and someone you do, and something you do. Both. I'm going to say both, but it comes from who you are. So we are worshipers, and when we gather together in a room, it's really cool. We just do what comes natural. We worship in spirit because our spirit is alive by the Holy Spirit. It's alive. And we worship. The enemy doesn't like that. I don't care. How many hours a week would we be referred to as worshipers? We get 168 hours every week. We all get the same. How many of those hours would you be referred to as a worshiper? All of them? Did you say all of them? Don't you sleep? Would you be a worshiper sleeping? Yes. You don't check who you are in the closet when you walk into the house, or, you know, you are a worshiper 24/7. That's who you are. I like that. Everywhere we go. Donna says, come on, I want to go to Walmart. I don't want to go to Walmart. You've heard me say that over and over, right? I don't want to go. What do? I'm a worshiper. I'm going. And I'm looking for somebody down there to help, to talk to. It's a mission field. I'm going. And I'm gonna help, and we're going to have a good time. It's a date. Every time when we leave the house together, it's a date. I've been dating my wife for 50 years, and I'm going to keep going. It's cool. Okay, because it's who we are, how is it that we worship? Okay, I'm just going to throw some things out. First, singing in the car. Singing. I don't care where you are. Riding the horse. Hunting. You can sing. In the shower. Oh, man. I play these worship songs we do when I'm taking a shower. I play it and I just worship. It's cool. Singing in groups like this. Home groups. Different groups. Giving thanks in all things and for all things. Worship. Worship. Giving your time. You gave your time and you came here. That's worship. Giving your treasure. Giving is worship, especially for the kingdom of God. And we're going to ask you to give. Ask God to give to the Christmas child, because we're sending boxes, we're sending gifts and the gospel all over the world. And if we can do 300 or more boxes, that's great. That's cool. Well worth our time to give. And your talent. You have talents. Somebody just told me he was a drummer. Hey, he's a drummer. Good. You have various spiritual gifts. That's worship. Prayer. Finding a time to pray. Whether you're walking, sitting, that's worship. Giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus is worship. Hugging your neighbor is worship. We are worshipers. It's who we are. So, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen? You are a worshiper.